Okay, good morning, everybody. Good Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning at the home of the Fuchs. Tisko Mitzvos Maisim Tovim. We are on page 14, please. We're really at the top of page 15, but we'll just go back so we don't start in the middle of a topic. We don't know what we're talking about. Last time we talked about Shira and Rina and welcoming Shabbos with song. And I was also thinking to myself, which we didn't say last time, that's why so much of Shabbos is centered around Zmiros. So much of the meal centered on Zmiros because it's the expression of the soul of the song to the Ribon Shalom. We spoke about Moshe, the Aschanan, very meaningful learning. Okay, so we are on page 14. Okay, let's just start from the middle. Not going to say the insights we said last time, just that we will start from the middle of the page so we know where we are. Chazal say when Titus entered the Beis HaMikdash, he took a sword and he pierced the curtain hanging at the entrance to the Kodesh HaKodashim, known as the Parochas. Miraculously, blood oozed out. When Titus saw the blood, he thought he had killed Kaviyachol, the Ribono Shel Olam. Had Titus lost his mind? How could he think he killed the Supreme Being? In truth, this is just a recap from last time. This teaching of Chazal contains a profound message. Death signifies departure. Blood is the nefesh, the life force. When Tito saw the blood on the ground, he concluded Hashem departed. He thought Hashem ascended to heaven, no longer to be involved in earthly affairs. The reality is Hashem is the one who made the blood come out of the parochas. And in a sense, Galus does signify, in a sense, Hashem does depart to a certain degree in Galus. What was Titus's mistake? Blood indeed spilled out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. But it wasn't what Titus thought. God didn't ascend to the heavens. He didn't leave us. His involvement in this world, Chas v'Shalom, did not cease. Rather, the blood on the ground symbolized Hashem on the ground, still with us, but in Galus, and treated with contempt. If you remember last time we told the story from Rabbi Lau, out of the depths with the talisim on the ground to stop the buses from running on Shabbos. Today we are battling, I shouldn't say we, they are battling once again in Eretz Yisrael for Shmira Shabbos. The blood on the ground symbolized Hashem on the ground, but still with us. But in Galus, and in Galus, the Shechina is treated, good morning, with contempt. And when people drive their cars on Shabbos, it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sprawled on the ground, so to speak, under the wheels of those cars. So I just took out this story for a different class, and I'm preparing a totally different shiur, and I thought it was very appropriate. I cut it out of the Jewish Times, I don't even know, a year ago or a couple of years ago. So it was an article written by Rabbi Yair Hoffman, but he's really quoting a speech that Menachem Begin made. It was May 3rd, 1982. Prime Minister Menachem Begin, in the biography of Begin, he is called the most Jewish of Israel's prime ministers. When he was elected as prime minister, he was the first one to put a kippah on his head, and he said, Shachianu. There's a story told over in the biography, a great story about tefillah, that there was once a meeting with the Aguda members in the in his office, and it was becoming heated, and they were arguing about something. So to sort of calm the tone of the meeting, he looked at them and he said, Rabosai was Yiddish. Erchab gezavt mincha or something. I don't know how exactly how you say it in English. Did you dav a mincha yet? So they took a break from the meeting, him and his assistant, and the eight members made a minyan for mincha, and after they continued. Okay, it was May 3rd, 1982. Prime Minister Menachem Begin faced an irreligious Knesset membership, and he argued that Al Al, Israel's national airline, should not be flying on Shabbos. This was Begin's speech. And remember what we just read. What we just read is that the blood that Titus saw symbolizes that in Galus, Hashem is treated with contempt. And when people drive cars on Shabbos, it's the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is sprawled on the ground under the wheels of those cars. Begin said to the Knesset, 1982, 40 years ago, I returned from exile to Eretz Yisrael. Engraved in my memory, he was from Brisk. Engraved in my memory are the lives of millions of Jews, simple, ordinary folk, eking out a livelihood, in that forlorn diaspora where the storms of anti-Semitism raged. They were not permitted to work on the Christian day of rest, and they refused to work on our day of rest. For them, they lived by the command, Zachar Shabbos Lekadsho, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So each week, they gave up two whole days of hard-worn bread. This meant destitution for many, but they would not desecrate the Shabbat. Shabbat, he's speaking to the Knesset, is one of the loftiest values in all of humanity. It originated with us. It is all ours. No other civilization knows of Shabbos, the day of rest. Ancient Egypt had a great culture. Their treasures are on view to this day. You can go to museums all over the world and see the treasures of ancient Egypt. Yet the Egypt of antiquity did not know of a day of rest. The Greeks of old excelled in philosophy and arts. They did not know of a day of rest. Rome established mighty empires and instituted a system of law relevant to this day. Rome did not have a day of rest. Neither did the civilizations of Assyria, Babylon, Persia, India, China. None of them knew a day of rest. One nation alone, sanctified Shabbat. A small nation, the nation that's heard at Sinai, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest. Ours was the nation that enthroned Shabbos as the sovereign queen. So are we in our own reborn Jewish state to allow our blue and white LL planes to fly to and fro, as if we broadcast to the world that there is no Shabbat in Israel? Should we, who by faith and tradition heard the command at Sinai, should we deliver a message to all through our blue and white LL planes? No, we do not remember the Shabbat. Forget Shabbat. Desecrate Shabbat. I shudder at the thought. And he was successful. He convinced the government and the Knesset that there should be no planes flying on Shabbos. And since that time, LL has not flown on Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sprawled on the ground, the Gala, so to speak, when we're Mechal Shabbos. We don't have an appreciation for the blood that is oozing, so to speak, the pain of the Ribono Shel Olam Kaviyacha under the wheels of the cars when we are in Galus. Shabbos, top of page 15. Shabbos is Hashem's name. These days, when the Shechina is sprawled on the ground for all to trample upon, a couple of us were saying before we began class what the times are now and all over the world. I mean, certainly the name of Hashem, so to speak, certainly by the Umos HaOlam, is sprawled on the ground for all to trample upon. When they attack us, it's not because they're attacking us. They're really attacking Torah Yisrael, and they're attacking, so to speak, the Ribono Shel Olam. It is a attack on our religion and our faith. And what is that? That's God. And we really are in times when the Shechina is sprawled on the ground for all to trample upon. So in these times, Hashem is seeking a home. Where can he find refuge? So we have to go the added step to make sure that our homes are Shabbos worthy. If Shabbos is the name of Hashem and Shabbos is the escape from Galus, we have to go an extra degree to make sure that the Chilul Shabbos and the Chilul Hashem, so to speak, that is so rampant, terrifyingly rampant in our day and age, is counteracted with our Kedusha for Shabbos and making a home for the Shechina. That's what Rapinka says. Hashem is seeking a home in which he may find refuge. And this is Kabbalah Shabbos, the Kabel. You know, I say that Matan Torah and Kabbalah Sator are not the same thing. It was at Har Sinai that we heard Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Kachon, that when Moshe repeats in Bez Chanan, Shamar Siyam HaShabbos Kachon, we know that Hashem said both Zachar and Shamar at the same time. Achas Dibir Al-Kim, Shayim Zu Shamati. I can't even demonstrate it because we can't say two words at the same time. But we heard Ad Har Sinai, Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Kacho, Kabbalah Shabbos. I'm going to go back to what I said. Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satorah are not the same thing. And you can learn a lesson from there from Shabbos. At Har Sinai, at the time of Matan Torah, we heard, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and guard the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So Matan is from Matana, Linatain. Is to give. So Hashem is giving us a present. But that doesn't mean the receiver necessarily wants to accept it. Sometimes Hashem wants to do something for you and you say, no, thank you, I don't want it. It's not the gracious way to be, but sometimes the reality it is. It's a lesson in humility. We have to learn that when someone wants to do something for us, we have to be able to accept it. So Hashem says, Matan Torah. I'm giving you a matara. Well, the question is, am I willing to accept the gift? We have to be humble enough to say, I want it. Because when you take something from somebody, you're really indicating in a way you're beholden to them. That's really what it is. It's humility. If I take something from you, it means I need you in a sense. So taking from the Ribono Shel Olam means I need you, Hashem. So when we take the Torah from Hashem, it means we are beholden and indebted to God. You could reject the present. In a sense, it's chutzpah. We have to learn to be humble enough to accept when someone wants to do something for us. So you can apply that to Kabbalah Shabbos, Kabbalah Satorah. What is Kabbalah Shabbos? Shabbos is the greatest matana that the world has. We just read Begin, who is not, in the sense, a religious Jew, the way we define a religious Jew, but he said, how can we be mechalal, this great matana? We have to be ready to be mekabel the Shabbos, to be mekabel. Hashem says, I have the best matana. The question is, are we taking it from him? This is Kabbalah's Shabbos. We greet Hashem and we say, Hashem, in my home you can find rest and refuge. In other words, here you won't be trampled upon. Here you're not splattered on the floor, chas v'shem. There's no blood oozing from the parochas. The house is clean, both physically and spiritually. And that's something important to remember, that a Jew must be able to fuse the physical side of life, the gashmis, and make it spiritual. We are not totally spiritual beings. We don't believe, like certain religions, in abstinence and what's the word I'm looking for? Like total removal from Olam Hazeh. We don't go live in monasteries and remove ourselves. We don't not speak. We don't not eat. I mean, there are times when we fast. Yes?
That's exactly why a Nazir has to bring up Korban Chatas.
That's why
a Nazir has to bring up Korban Chatas.
Very nice, beautiful.
Because we're not supposed to live in an extreme. We have to live with balance.
Very nice. It's because we're supposed to take this world and elevate it. The Nazir refrains from wine. We take the wine on Shabbos. You know, when I was preparing Shir, I looked in a sefer of Rav Shimon Schwab, his minhagim for Shabbos. So it wasn't relevant for this, but I'm sure I'll bring it in a different time. His minhagim for Kiddush, and he speaks about Kiddush. So we take the wine and we elevate it. We're not supposed to refrain from wine. We're not supposed to abstain from nice clothing. We're not supposed to abstain from good food. Ein simcha, ela b'basar v'yayin. So the key is, this house is clean. What does clean mean? Take the physical and elevate it to make it spiritual. And then we become a spiritual being. So Hashem wants us to enjoy this world. Bikurim is a celebration of the first fruit. So many mitzvahs relate to taking the physical and being spiritual. So I'm going to quote from the biography. This is the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, right? By Rabbi M. M. Yashar. It's not like the biographies today that art school puts out, which are much faster to get through. It took me a very long time, you can see. It was written a long time ago, not like today. It took me like months, because I do other things also to get through this. But you see, it's very different than the ones today. Anyway, when this is published. I just started a new one last night. First impression, June 1984. Doesn't feel like it was so long ago, but it actually was. Okay. In 1787, Rav Chaim of Elazhin's brother, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Chaim of Elazhiner, who is known as the father of the modern-day yeshivas, Rav Shlomo Zalman passed away in Vilna at the young age of 31. So Rav Chaim of Elazhiner lost his brother at the age of 31. Rav Chaim heard people saying of his brother, had he lived as long as the Vilna Gaon, he would have been as great as the Vilna Gaon. Rav Chaim retorted, had his brother lived 1,000 years, listen carefully, he would not have reached a fraction of the Gaon's eminence. And he remarked, why not? So you might think, because no one could be as great as the Vilna Gaon. But listen what Rav Chaim of Elazhiner said. The difference between my brother and our master in Torah, meaning the Vilna Gaon, is this. Rav Shlomo Zalman completely disassociated himself from this world, his brother, and became like a divine angel. Our master teacher, however, the Vilna Gaon, while he behaved like an ordinary human being, had inner forces so refined, clarified, and ennobled, he converted his physical self into a divine being. So we're not going to reach a fraction of that, but the key is to convert our physical selves into a spiritual being. You can only do that if you utilize the kochos of this world. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you clothing, food, kiddush, wine. This, in fact, was the very purpose of creation, that people should convert the physical aspects of everyday life into the spiritual. So in our home, we prepare for Shabbos, how? Physically and spiritually. But the key is to make sure that the physical is elevated into spiritual, or utilized to make it spiritual. Yes?
I hope I'm repeating. I'm trying to learn Shir HaShirim by reading the art scroll.
Okay.
And it said something similar about Shlomo HaMelech, that on the surface, it looked like he took so many pleasures in this world, all these wives and all this wealth.
Horses, yeah.
But really, he on the outside appeared, but everything he really did was to experience it, but still remain.
Very nice, beautiful.
I just read that last night.
Beautiful. And he was the wisest of all men.
Right.
Actually, I just saw something very interesting about talking about Shlomo Melach, why we make a su'uda when we make a siyam. I'm going to go off on a tiny tangent. Actually, it's not. It's talking about this week, of course, what these people are speaking about is the Siyam Mashas. So the OU sends out a daily email called OU Halacha Yomis. OU Halacha Yomis. Does anyone subscribe to it? It's a short halacha every day. So they've been sending out this week about Siyam. Okay? So here we go. Ready? Very interesting. One second. Because you brought up Shlomo Melech. Listen to this. Listen to this. Let me go back to where I just was. I just want to make sure it's still recording. What is the significance of a Sudas Mitzvah for a Siyam? So this is a perfect example. What do we do when we finish learning something in Torah? You sit down and you have a meal. You eat. So you think it should be, maybe I should run to a monastery, Chas V'Shalom, and never talk to anybody again. Husband and wife should never have relations, and I should fast my whole life. Like Zava said, a Nazir has to bring a Chatas, because that's not what Hashem wants from us. And then you brought Shlomo Melech. So I just read this the other day. What is the significance? Is Oyu Halach Yomis, January 1st. Wednesday, the day of Siyam. Ashas, what is the significance of a Sudas Mitzvah for a Siyam? Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik shared the following insight he heard from his father of Moshe regarding the nature of a Sudas Mitzvah of a Siyam, at a Siyam. The Rama writes in Yoredeya, there is a mitzvah to host the Suda when there is a Siyam of a Masechta. One of the sources for this mitzvah is the following. Shlomo HaMelech hosted a Suda for his staff when God granted him the gift of Torah wisdom. So funny you brought this up, and I don't read them every single day. I look at, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And I read it, and here we go. You take the Torah, and then you take a Su'uda, and you put them together. Shlomo HaMelech, this is brought down by the Ramah, Yoredeya 246:26, writes, it's a mitzvah to host a Su'uda when there's a Siyum of a Masechta. One of the sources is the following. Shlomo HaMelech hosted a Su'uda for his staff when God granted him Torah wisdom. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik asks, how can Shlomo Su'uda be a source for a Su'uda at a Siyum? Shlomo, this is very beautiful, by the way. Shlomo made the feast even before he began to study Torah. He was granted wisdom, but before he began to study, he made the Siyum. So it seems like he's not making a seam for the completion. He's making a seam for what is going to?
Start.
What he was starting or what's going to come. Rav Moshe was... What? Oh, so Rav Moshe responded, the real celebration at a seam is not only for past accomplishments, but you now have so much more potential for future accomplishments. I remember when my husband... My husband learns with Amud Yomi Rabbi Willig. So on Wednesday, they happened to finish. It wasn't on purpose, but they were Messiah Maseches Kedushin. So we joined the show 3 years ago. This was his third Baruch Hashem Siyum Masechta with Amud Yomi, Baruch Hashem. So when he made the first claim, I remember my brother told him, he gave him Mazel Tov. He said, you know, Kol Kavod, it's beautiful. But the key is...
Keep going.
So Baruch Hashem, we're at our third. Hodu Hashem Kito. But my brother said, the key is what's going to come next. So one sec, let me just finish this. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, the real celebration of Adasim is not only for what you accomplished in the past, but now you have so much more potential to keep going because you build up a momentum. As such, when Shlomo was granted Torah wisdom, he was making a Su'uda. It's a celebration of now we have the potential to grow so much. From this thought, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik formulated an interesting question. On Simchas Torah, listen to this, we honor the person who has an aliyah at the completion of the Torah, Chasan Torah. And then we honor the Chasan Bereshis, the person who gets the Aliyah for Bereshis. Which honor is greater? Most people believe Chasan Torah is greater of a kibbutz. It celebrates the conclusion of Torah. Not so, said Rav Moshe, this was his mahalach, or how he held. Chasan Bereshis is greater. It celebrates your future potential. And that is the essence of a Su'udas mitzvah at a Siyum. It reminded me of what you said when you brought up Shlomo Mech, but this is, you really see it. When did he say, take food and make it holy? When he was granted the gift of Ruchnius and Torah learning. Now you should take your food and elevate it. Yes.
And this is my fourth house since I'm married. And I never heard, when Rabbi Katzenstein from Yeshiva Gedola heard that we're moving into a new house, he said, I want you to call me. A Chanukah Habayis is very important. Mm-hmm. Never heard it, didn't know what it was. And he said we had to make, he did like a little Siyum here. He was just finishing a Masechus, I forgot what. And he made the Siyum here, and he said you have to wash and bench and make a meal. I just did a very simple, you know, on a Sunday morning with men around the table. But it's also, I guess, to bring potential into the home for future.
Very nice. That's right. So you're learning, we're all learning something new. It's funny because when we moved into our house 2.5 years ago, so Rav Shai Shechter said, the most appropriate chukras bais is to host the shir. He said to me, host the shir. So at my Tuesday shir, I serve always muffins and fruit. So we combine kamach and Torah. But the point is, we say to Hashem, the house is clean. Why can you find rest and refuge here? Because it's physically prepared and use the physically and elevated spiritual. You were waiting to say something. But I said to wait till I finished. Oh, you almost.
No, just keep going back to the same Hashas. But that's what Rav Shmuel Kamatsky said. You know, after they finished the Hajj, like he said, like it's on Simchas Torah. It's not, we don't finish the Torah by Zos Abraha. We finish the Torah really when we start Bereishis.
So that really relates to here. So if Moshe Soloveitchik said, what's the greater Aliyah? Again, I'm sure there are different Rabbanim who hold differently, but is it the one who concludes the Varm or the one who begins Bereishis? Very important. So with this in mind, what I just read from the Chavetz Chaim about the Vilna Gaon, and the key of life is to take the physical and make it spiritual, which is what the sentence in the Sefer reminded me of. I was then reminded of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Beis. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar, had to hide they had to run and hide away because of the Roman decree that you could not learn Torah. So every day, it's in Aramaic, which is why I'm just reading the translation. Every day, Rabbi Shimon's wife would bring them bread and a small pitcher of water, and they would eat. Excuse me. Ki tikif gzeirasai, when the decree of the Romans intensified, and they were looking for anyone who was hiding and learning Torah, Amar le levrei, Rabbi Shimon said to his son, Nashim da'atan kala aleim. You may have heard this, probably quoted out of context. Some people say that the rabbis are anti-woman, blah, 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 chas v'sham. Nashim da'atan kala aleim. Women's minds are light. Dilma mitzarela umegalela. And they might come, this is easy to understand Aramaic. Dilma mitzarela. The Romans might cause her pain. They might torture her. Umegalela. She might reveal where we are hiding. So they decide they can't see anymore where they're hiding, and the wife knows where they are. They have to go to a cave. This is Shabbos 33b. This is very famous. So they went, Azlu Tashu bimarasa. They went and they hid in a cave. A miracle happened. Isrichish Nisa, Nis, a miracle happened. And what happened? A carob tree, Charuva, carob, Charuv, carob, Ve'ena Demaya, and a spring of water was created for them. The footnote says, the Maharsha comments, the creation of the carob tree itself was a miracle. The fact that there was fruit was another miracle, so it was a double miracle. But as it takes 70 years, according to Maseches Tainis 23e, for a carob tree to bear fruit. So it takes 70 years for it to bear fruit. So the tree created was an ace, and the carob tree was an ace. Yeah? The
carob. We over there?
Where?
We over there, at the cave.
Was that the actual cave? I don't think so.
We went this past summer. Saw the cave, we saw the carob tree.
That's very cool.
We went in the cave.
Wow. Okay, so they were in there. They would shed their clothing every day, and they would sit. What's chol? Well, it's profane, but what else is chol? Chol asfas hayam. They would sit every day. V'havu yaseva ad tzavarayhu. Tzavara is a neck. They would sit in their necks every day in the sand. Why would they sit every day in their necks up to the sand? So Rashi says on the Gemara, b'chol, what's b'chala? Many words in Aramaic are similar to the Hebrew, but they end with an aleph. So b'chala is chol with an aleph at the end. So Rashi says, what's b'chala? B'chol. Rashi translates in Hebrew, it's sand. Shahayu posht in bigdehem. They would remove their clothing. Shalo yiblu, so that they would not wear out. Ukmachisin ervasan b'chol. They would cover their nakedness with sand. So it's not like today when we have so many changes of clothing. They had one thing to wear. They would sit in the sand all day. All day they would sit and study Torah. When the time came to daven, they would get dressed. They would return and then shed their clothing so the clothing would not wear out and sit in the sand. They dwelled in the cave for 12 years. One day, Eliyahu Hanavi came and he stood at the entrance of the cave and he said, Ma'in lo de levar yochai demis kesar. Who will let Bar Yochai know that the Caesar, the Caesar, has died? The decree has been annulled. So in other words, you can come out of hiding. You don't have to stay in hiding anymore. So Rabbi Shimon and Bar Yochai and his son emerged from the cave as they ventured into civilization. I'm sure you know this. They saw people who were plowing a field. They saw people sowing crops. So they saw people who were working in this world. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Manichin chaye olam v'oskim b'chaye shah. They put aside chaye olam. Chaye olam is reward in olam haba. They're not learning Torah. They're not sitting in the yeshiva. And they're working chaye shah, pursuit of this worldly life. In other words, they're working for 1 hour. This world is finite and fleeting. Instead of working for olam haba, kol makom shenosnim einehem miyad nisraf. Everywhere they look, was burned up. They couldn't handle that. People were involved in the physical matters of this world. Yatzitza baskol v'amar lahem. A baskol came out and said, L'hachriv olami yatzasem. God said, Pasnesh, what are you doing? You came out to destroy my world? Chizru l'ma'arascham. You should return to their cave. So I'm going to take a break from the Gemara for a minute and tell you that in the Hani Malchus biography, Allah Hashem, there's many beautiful insights. But one thing, such a powerful insight, she brings down the name of the Varka Rebbe. The Varka Rebbe says, if Rabbi Shimon and Bar Yochai and his son were too holy because they stayed in the cave for 12 years, and now they can't understand the ways of this world, burning everybody up. So Hashem says, go back to the cave. He should say, it says in the biography, this is from Henny's Torah teachings, it's the gray, which means it was recordings of what she actually said. He should say, go to the beach, put your feet up, and take a chill. You should relax. You should go back to the cave. What's going to happen if they go back to the cave? They might become more intense. How's that going to help? Go to the beach, she writes this, and sit down and just relax. Why go back to the cave? So the Varka, does anyone, you remember this? Because you're smiling. Do you remember this insight?
Interesting. And I was thinking that.
Oh, very good. So the Varka Rebbe says, you're not ready to be in this world. If you spend 12 years learning Torah and you don't understand that people need to plow and sow and eat and dress, you didn't learn enough Torah. If you would have learned enough Torah, you would know that the way of the world is, it goes back to our previous insight. the way of the world is people need to be involved in this world. If you don't understand it, you didn't learn enough. Go back to the cave and learn more. The purpose of Torah learning is not to live an aesthetic lifestyle where you're totally withdrawn from everything. Part of Avodas Hashem is plowing and sowing and growing crops. And therefore, the Baruch Abba says, yes, go back to the cave, learn more. You didn't learn enough because you don't understand the way of this world. Wow. Therefore, chizru lema'araschem, go back to your cave. Hadar Azul, they went and they returned to the cave. They dwelled there another 12 months. Amrei, they said to each other, the sentence of evildoers in Gehenim is for 12 months. Surely our sentence is up. They made a kal v'chomer. If in Gehenim they only suffer 12 months for sinners, then our time should be up. Yatza basko v'amra tzu'ul mimarashchem. A basko came out and said, Yotaka, you're right, come out. So they come back. So remember, the first time the Baruch Rebbe explains they didn't learn enough Torah. You don't understand the ways of this world. Go back and learn some more. Don't judge people for being involved in this world. Nafku, they come out of the cave. Kol hecha dahava machi Rabbi Elazar. Wherever Rabbi Elazar, his son, looked, hava masai Rabbi Shimon. Everything would be burned up, so his father would heal wherever he would look. So his son still is not looking appropriately. Rabbi Shimon would heal. Amrlo, so his father said to him, Bini, my son, Dai la olam aniva ata. You and me, excuse me, is enough charifness in this world. Calm down. Stop burning everything up. As why am I bringing you this whole Gemara? First of all, you see, because we're talking today about fusing the physical with the spiritual and understanding that our gashmis must be made into ruchnius. We tied it into the Siyam Hashas, I'm making a Siyam Masechta. But it specifically relates to Shabbos. As the Gemara continues, as night began to fall late Friday afternoon, Chazu Hahu Saba, Saba, what's a Saba? Aramaic for, what's a Saba? Yeah, that's exactly right. Aramaic for old man is Saba. It's an Aramaic word. Chazu Hahu Saba, they saw, if you look at Targum Unkos, whenever it mentions in the Chumash an old man or an old woman, you'll see Saba is the word for old man. So they saw an old man, Dahava Naki Trey, what's Trey? Trey Asar. Trey is two. Trey Asar is 12 prophets. Trey is two, Asar is 10. Dahava Naki Trey Midane Asa. He was holding two bundles of myrtles. Rashi says, Chavilos Shal Hadas, like a packet of Hadasim, Lahariach B'Shabbos. What was the point? They wanted to smell nice for Shabbos? So he's holding two bundles of myrtles. Rashi, Chavilos Shal Hadas, Lahariach B'Shabbos. V'rahi ben shmashos, he's running home because it's almost ben shmashos. Amrle, they say to him, Hanei l'malach, what are those for? Amrlehu, he's Amarlehu, he said to them, l'kavod Shabbos. So what was he doing with kavod Shabbos? Not running into a cave and secluding himself. He was taking flowers and he was saying, these are for Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon and his son said, could you not have sufficed with one bundle? And he said, chag keneged zachor v'chag keneged shamar. No, one bundle is not enough. One is for Zachar, so Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. One is for Shamos, Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Hearing this, Rabbi Shimon said to his son, Amar Le Livrei, Bar Livrei, Beis Reish Yod Hei, Bar is Aramaic for son. Bar Mitzvah means a son of Mitzvah, it's Aramaic. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Chazei Kama Chavivin Mitzvos Al Yisrael. Look how beautiful, how precious Chavivin, how dear the Mitzvos are to the Bnei Yisrael, and they were appeased. It took an extra year in the cave, like the Baruch Rebbe says, go learn more Torah. You didn't learn enough Torah. You should know that the way of this world is to take the physicality and use it for Torah and mitzvah. So going back inside to the Sefer, Hashem in my home, you can find rest and refuge. The house is clean, both physically and spiritually. I've rid my home of all the idolatry that sullies the world today. Yaakov Avinu, as the, thank you for putting out the Chumash very much, the Tanakh, as the family of Yaakov is coming home after the Maisa Dina in Perek Lamed Daled. So in Perek Lamed Hey, Yaakov Avinu tells his family to change their clothing and get rid of everything in their hand. And Rashi says, any tumah or idolatry that they took from the plunder of Shechem, they have to get rid of if you want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So if you want Hashem to come to your home, rid the home of all the idolatry that sullies the world today. There are no foreign influences here. This is a holy Jewish home. Please come in. So we have to daven for it. It takes a lot of tefillah to daven that our homes are places that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to dwell. Fortunate is he who can say on Shabbos Kodesh, Hashem, come to my house. Even more fortunate is he who can say all week long, In my home, there's only Torah, not Torah plus other things. But again, if you take the Gashmus and you make it Torah, then those other things are Avodas Hashem, only Torah and Yiddishkeit. If we want to tell a child a story, we tell them only stories of tzaddikim. It's so interesting, because I just, let's apt you this morning, there's a website I read about a mishpacha, storiestoinspire.org. I read about a mishpacha. It's very, very interesting. He started a website. He listens to Rabbanim and Magide Shir, and he'll take an excerpt from the Shir. It obviously must be with their permission. It's organized by topic and their name. It's such a cool website. And he takes an excerpt from the Shir of a story. His criteria are it has to be inspiring stories and it has to be verified as true stories. So if they quote it from a sefer, or he knows it's Magide Shir who tell true stories. And they're organized all according to topic. Shorts, clips, excerpts from Shir of stories. But he says one of the reasons he started it, it's not his business, it's a side thing, is because he would tell his children bedtime stories at night. And during the week he would tell X amount, and on Shabbos he would tell them a certain more, and he was always looking for appropriate stories of Gedolim. And then he realized he would tell his children a story, and then he started to send them on WhatsApp, and then it became popular, and friends and family, so he finally made a compilation, and he started this website. It was Imishbach a few weeks ago, storiestoinspire.org. I didn't listen to any of them yet, I just looked it up for the first time this morning. But this is what, and I just sent you the link this morning. If you want to tell a child a story, so if you're looking for stories, there you go. We tell them only stories of tzaddikim. Here we are involved only in the holy Shechina. As soon as Hashem finds a place to rest, he will no longer be rolling under the wheels of the cart. So I just want to say one thing that's very important.
Wow.
Pardon?
That's a great line.
As soon as Hashem finds a place to rest, he will no longer be rolling under the wheels of the cart. So I just want to say one thing. I did hear, not last year in L.A., not 2018, but 2017, at Torah LA, which was the OU West Coast Convention, Charlie Harari was speaking about Yosef HaTzadik being, I have a subject in Tianbuin, Yosef HaTzadik on the caravan. We just passed by the story of Yosef HaTzadik on the caravan, Paraglam at Zion, and the spices smell good. Okay, that's very nice. So did we ever think about that? So Charlie Harari says, it smells good. His mother died. His brothers hate him. The extra love of father is not a bracha. The Ksonas Pasa makes everything worse. Then they throw him into pills, snakes and scorpions. Then someone schlups him out and he's on a caravan. Oh, thank you. It smells like cinnamon. You know, Charlie Rari talks. He says, oh, thank God it smells like cinnamon. That's the bracha. Maybe Hashem should be at the top of a ladder saying, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. It smells like cinnamon. That's a nechama. So he said a very interesting chiddush. He said, this was, I don't remember anything else he spoke about. Please forgive me. It was fall 2017. But if you take on one nekuda from a shir and you remember 2 years later, you're in good shape. Atachoni in the Adam da'asum lame danish bina. So he said, talk about a great line. Effective communication is learning to communicate effective communication is learning to communicate the way the other person speaks, not the way you speak. Hashem, he said, was talking in human language. Malachim up and down a ladder, that's God's language. Yosef is going into Galus. In Galus, there's a degree of Hester upon him. That's a fact. That's part of the criteria of Galus. Hashem is talking in Yosef's language. Yosef understood all Mahaza. Yosef was 17 years old. Yosef was a kid. It smells really good. That might be a nechama. Effective communication is learning to speak. I'm telling you, it was November 2017. I don't remember anything else he said in that year. But that is so appropriate. Effective communication is learning to speak the way the other person speaks, not the way you speak. I'm just putting a caveat into this. So it's true, we want a home only we're involved with the Shechina. But if our children are not on that level and they find sports interesting or politics interesting and you don't necessarily care, I'm not talking about if it's a preacher's topic, chas v'sham, something that is also to discuss, then it's important to speak the way they speak, because this can lead to an enhanced, healthier home and relationship, as opposed to say usher, 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 because in the day and age in which we live, in very turbulent and difficult times, sometimes we need to adjust our community, not to be chas v'shalom anti-Torah, but that's what he said. Based on inside her of Shai Schechter, say, actually in the name of, Oh, Hashem help me. Rav Meir Shapiro. You know he didn't have children? Rav Meir Shapiro would have been denied children. You know, who could imagine this chosim? It's not fathomable. It's literally not fathomable, his place in Gan Eden. So what were his payros? Torah for thousands, millions? It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
millions, not thousands. So I heard of Shai Schechter say the following word in his name. It's a very strong word. The Gemara says, maybe Maseches Menachos, 28, I don't know, but that could be wrong. The Gemara says, all the kelim that Moshe made were ksherim lo, the ksherim ledoros. All the kelim that Moshe made in the Mishkan were ksherim lo, the ksherim ledoros. The Shulchan, the Mizbeach Hazav, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Kiyor, the Aron Kodesh, ksherim lo, ksherim ledoros. The Chatzot wrote, Bahalos Chaper Gira Bamidbar, ksherim lo, upsulo ledoros. They were kosher for Moshe and pasul ledoros. Why? So he said the chatzotos were used for communication. That's what they were. Before you sent out a WhatsApp, I'll pay those to call everybody and get the news out, you use the chatzotos to blast. War is coming, Yantav is coming, I need the Kohanim. It's for communication. The way you communicate with one generation is not the way you communicate with the next generation. So I'm just... Yes, we have to understand who Rav Shimshon Pinkas was. He wasn't on our Madrega. So if you want to tell a child a story and you want to communicate with the child, I'm just putting a little caveat here to bring it down to our level and to understand what we're dealing with. Certainly you should try and incorporate stories of tzaddikim, like you put out yesterday, and I thank you for it, and I read it at the supper table because it was unbelievable about Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita making the Hadron from a Gemara from a deep peep camp. So that's a story of a tzaddik. You should tell that. But on the other hand, you also have Kono, that the chatzotos that Moshe made were kosher lo, psul in the doros. Why? Because they cannot be used to communicate with the next generation. It's fascinating. If you want to hear something even cooler, the Midrash says, the Midrash Tanhuma, Baloscha, that even in Moshe's life, they were hidden away. The chatzotos were hidden away in his life, and at the end of his life, he didn't use them. Makes perfect sense. Why? The end of his life was the second generation. The beginning of his life, he was dealing with the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but they all died. And who was he talking to at the end of his life? Once the Yotzei Mitzrayim died, he was talking to a next generation. Even he could not use his own chatzotros to communicate with the second door. Never mind Yoshua, after him. So it's a very, very powerful. So just to tamp out a website like that, I haven't listened to any stories yet. I looked up this morning. I think it's tremendously beneficial and it's wonderful. But we also have to know, says Charlie Harari, that effective communication is learning to communicate the way the other person speaks, not necessarily the way you speak. So if cinnamon works with that generation instead of angels going up and down a ladder, and that is a chizuk and nechama, and it's something very, very important, whether you're talking to your children or talking to your grandchildren. Someone, in fact, told me in her family, a friend of hers, that this woman told her that she had children of a couple decades apart, that the methods that she was able to use for her oldest changed by the time it came to the youngest. And that's one mother of the same family that worked with the 22-year-old. It's now that was working with the 5-year-old. It's unbelievable. So we just have to keep that in mind. Of course, we have to make our homes a place for the Shekhinah to rest. Of course, we have to make ourselves kosher. I'm not talking about chas v'shalom, things that are totally usher, but certainly in the day in which we are living, we're in very different times. And there was an article recently, Mishpacha, Mishpacha 20 years ago, Mishpacha now. So I don't know if anybody saw it. They had like parenting then, parenting now. Therapy then, therapy now. Shabbos table then, Shabbos table. So they interviewed one, Rav. I don't remember. I just skimmed some of them. But he said, they used to say, don't be your kid's friend. Did you read it?
No,
I wish I still had it. I don't. But he said, let me tell you how times have changed. The most important thing you can do is be your child's friend. It will keep them safer and happier. Okay, so Hashem should find a place to rest. Yes, we should tell your child stories of tzaddikim, but keep in mind everything else that we just said. He will no longer be rolling under the wheels of the car outside. My dear fellow Jews, it's important. He's not talking to them. When we learn Torah, we have to understand he's talking to us. We are responsible. What can I do to make my home better? We are responsible for the fact that Hashem is sprawled on the ground homeless. If our homes were pure and holy, like the Beis HaMikdash, everything would be different. Home means a clean place where you can be alone with Hashem, without the presence of strangers. But Pinchas says in a totally different book, Mo'ade Hashanah Elo and Rosh Hashanah, he says a very powerful line. He says, every Jew should feel like he has a secret with Hashem. He says, if a Jew does not feel he has a secret with Hashem, it's towards the, all the way at the end of the book, if a Jew does not feel he has a secret with Hashem, he says, it's hard to say this, but he's missing something of his Jewishness. I'm not saying that. I'm
a
not
secret?
Yeah. Something that only Hashem understands about you. No other human being.
Oh.
You have a secret with Hashem. Something that you tell Hashem and nobody else. Nobody, no other human being can really understand you. They could empathize, they could sympathize, but they're not you. Something that is between you and your Ribbono Shel Olam only, that no one else in the whole world can understand. When we talk to Hashem, when you cry to Hashem, when you thank Hashem, no one could really, they could feel for you, they could be happy for you, they could be sad for you, they don't really feel what you feel. That's a secret between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Pinchas says, if someone doesn't feel this, I'm sorry to say, he says he's missing some of his Jewishness. You want to know the exact page? Email me and I will tell it to you.
I forgot the exact acronym. I could send it to you guys afterwards if you want.
Could you talk louder for me?
I forgot the exact acronym. I could send it afterwards. But Rav Shlomo Katz quotes the Isbichur Rebbe, who's your site is the Shabbos, who uses Vayigash as an acronym to exactly that like we have to cry out to Hashem, like that's
so it. Send it to me and I could send it on to the Shabbos Kodesh. Please send it to me. If our homes were pure and holy like the Beis HaMikdash, everything would be different. Oh, home means a clean place. We have to be alone with Hashem, without the presence of strangers. That's really what he says in the other sefer. There's something between you and Hashem that no one else understands. Only holiness, kedusha, and purity, tahara. This is especially true of those special moments of Kabbalah Shabbos. Remember, so Hashem comes with a present to bring us your full circle. You have to be able to say, I want it, I accept it. I'm humble enough to say, thank you very much. It takes real humility to say, I want what you're giving me. It's easier to reject and say, I'm independent, I don't need you, I need nothing. That's not how the world works. It's not how it should work, Ben Adam Chaveiro. You have to learn to be humble enough to say thank you. And it's not how it works with your Bo Hashem. I have a matana, matan Torah, the matana of Shabbos. Do you want it? Will you be mekabel the Torah? Will you be mekabel Shabbos? We should be ready early. I don't know how everyone else is doing. Bli Ein Hara. Week by week, but Bli Ein Hara. It's going. You should be ready early. You should say, Hashem, we're waiting. Here, the Ribbono Shel Olam in this whole crazy world. Mamish going crazy. In our home, you can find peace. Interesting, you can find peace. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. And at the top of this page, you said Shabbos is one of Hashem's names. Well, you want to welcome Shabbos to a place of Shalom. With that, we should all have a very special, uplifting Halig Shabbos.